Because the reality is, Thanksgiving is a lost art. Amen? Reminds me of two friends. They met each other on the street one day, and one of the friends had a forlorn look on his face, and he's almost on the verge of tears. And his friend asked him, he says, "What in the world has this world done to you, my friend?" The sad fellow replied and said, he said, "Let me tell you what my last 3 weeks have been like." He said, "3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000 in his inheritance." The man kind of thought about it and he said, "Well, that's a blessing, but I hate to hear that your uncle passed." He said, "Yeah, but listen to this." He said, 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never knew died and left me $85,000. And the man thought, "Well, that's a blessing as well, but I hate to hear that your family members are passing so rapidly." He said, "But that ain't all." He said, "Last week I had a great aunt that died and left me $250,000, clear and free." He said, "Really?" He said, "With all of those blessings, why are you so sad?" He said, "This week, nothing." Isn't it amazing how we often expect certain blessings from God that God never really promised us? And then when we don't get them, we're not only disappointed, but we overlook how he has blessed us. I want to invite you to a passage, and there's so many, on thanksgiving and gratefulness. Psalms 92 verses 1 through 4. Psalms 92 verses 1 through 4. The psalmist David, he gives us this message of thanksgiving, but it comes out of his hardships. It comes out of his suffering. It comes out of the trials that he has gone through. I think the most genuine thanksgiving oftentimes comes out of our difficulties. But you got to search for it. Listen what the psalmist says. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Can I read that again? That really could be the whole passage right there. It is good. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning. That's when we first get up, y'all. And your faithfulness every night. That's when we lie down to sleep. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hand. As a result of your work, listen to this, of making me grateful, I will give you thanks. If I could tag this text today with a title, I would use two titles. Number one, The Heart of Gratitude. And if I could use a subtitle, it would be, It's Good to Give Thanks. It is good to give thanks. Scientists and medical researchers have known for years the benefits of being grateful. When people are grateful, the conclusion that they've come to is that they are less stressed and less anxious in life. When people are grateful, they're happy people. Have you ever noticed that? Under normal conditions, they even have better vital signs than those who are not grateful. They have a better outlook on life. And not only that, but grateful and thankful people are just fun to be around. You don't hear them murmuring and complaining. And I'll say it again, yet thanksgiving and gratitude, it is a lost art. Daily we hear people murmuring and grumbling about what they don't have, even in the church. As a matter of fact, the reverse of that is, oftentimes when we don't sense that we're being blessed by God, we have no thanksgiving towards God. Silence and the lack of thanksgiving and praise is also a sign of ingratitude. It says that God is not worthy to be praised. Cambridge describes gratitude in this matter, and I quote, "It's a strong feeling of appreciation to someone or something for what the person has done to help you." I'm going to say it again. It is a strong feeling of appreciation to someone or something for what the person has done to help you. The Free Dictionary describes gratefulness in this manner: the state of being grateful, thankful. Thankful. God has called us to be grateful, to be thankful. But we got to ask the question, is thanksgiving natural, even for believers? Is it a natural thing for us to be grateful? Can I go ahead and give you that answer? The answer is no. That's the reason why we are commanded to give thanks unto God. If it was natural, it's a natural flow and byproduct of who we are, gratitude, that is, thanksgiving, appreciation, then God wouldn't have to give us a command. Let me say it another way. Is it natural for us to always tell the truth? That's the reason why God has to give us a command. You shouldn't lie or bear false witness against your neighbor. So we all know the answer. The answer is no, it is not natural for us to have a heart of gratitude. If we really look long enough, we can find some deep reasons not only to give thanks, but some deep reasons why we have this lost sense of gratitude, why we don't have appreciation for the blessings of God upon our life and even the people that God has placed around us. Ungratefulness usually comes from the attitude of what we're focusing on that we don't have. Instead of focusing on what we do have, the reason why we're typically ungrateful is because we turn our hearts and attention to what it is we don't have. Even sometimes when you're trying to give thanks, you turn the script and put a comma instead of an exclamation point and say, but I wish I had this. And it would be better if I had this. So if thanksgiving is such a good thing, if thanksgiving does the heart good, if thanksgiving is good for the continents, it's good for the physiological well-being of a person, if it's good for the community and it's good for relationships, why are we not more thankful? God has given us reasons to give him thanks and to be thankful. Let me start with this again. Mentioned it, but I want to draw emphasis on it. Number one, God has commanded us to be thankful. He's commanded us. Somebody say he's commanded it. Thanksgiving is not an option, church. In other words, if we're not grateful and thankful, it's a sin. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a sin. It's a grave sin that leads to other sins. How and why would God make a command that we should give him thanks? Let me just start at this place. It's because he's worthy of it. When you're worthy of something, you can tell other folk what they have to do. Have I got any parents in here? If it's your house, you can tell your kids. You got to keep your room clean. You got to keep your shoes from in front of the door. You got to take the trash out. You've got chores. You've got studying to do and grades to keep up. If you're worthy of it, you can tell those in your household what they've got to do. Now, whether they do it or not all the time, that's a different story, but you've got the right to say it because of your house. Somebody say, God is worthy. God can say to us, praise me. and give me thanks with a grateful heart. Here's the reason why, because I'm grateful. Johnny Erickson Tata, some of you may know she's quadriplegic, and she says this about Thanksgiving. She says, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience. It's not that if I feel thankful, then I'll give thanks. No, God says, give him thanks. What that looks like is giving him praise. Matter of fact, if I could just give you just a few scripture references so you don't think that Calvin's making this up. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The word of God says, in everything give thanks. God didn't say for everything, but in everything. Find ways to give thanks. For this is the will of God. It's the design of God. It's the plan of God in Christ Jesus. Now you need to underline this for you, because we're going to come back to it later. Giving thanks has benefits in it even for us. But then look at Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, these are not suggestions, these are imperatives. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him or through Christ. Psalms 104. I'm so glad y'all are here in the house this morning to hear this verse. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. God has commanded us to give thanks. But this week, you have these overwhelming thoughts. Question popped in my head. But if someone commands you to do something, is it genuine when you do it? If God commands us to give thanks, we must give thanks, then are we genuine in giving thanks? Here's the place I think we start. Thanksgiving is not what we say. Gratitude is a heart condition. Thanksgiving is not just thank you. I appreciate that. You know, some folks don't say even say appreciate. I appreciate that. It's a heart condition. Let me give you an example. You can buy a child. I don't know why I'm on children today, but then maybe I do. You can buy a child a bicycle for his birthday. And that child look at that bicycle, and you can see in that child's eyes, they ain't feeling this bike. Don't nobody even ride a bike anymore without a motor on it. And then you turn around as a parent and say, so what do you think? And the child turns around and says, thank you. Is that it? Oh, thank you very much. You can see that the child is reluctant to say thanks, but they've been trained or commanded. That's that stuff our mama told us before we went in somebody's house and when we came out of that house. When you go in this house and they offer you some food, you better not say yes, because folks gonna think you're hungry. Remember that? They're going to think I ain't been feeding you. So when you go in here and they say, would you like something to eat? You say, no, thank you. And if they do give you something, you better tell, you better say thank you. And you get so excited sometimes that somebody gave you something and you forget to say thank you, or they, mama had to prompt you to say. So what you going to say? Thank you. And that's when, on the way to the car, boy, that's a long 14 steps. I've counted them. I told you before we went in the house, somebody give you something, you better say thank you. I got to tell you to say thank you. So the child says thank you out of training and command, out of discipline, out of ritual. But is that thanksgiving genuine? Now, here's the reason why you didn't see excitement in the child's face when you gave him the bicycle. Because the child thought he was going to get a PlayStation 4. So when the child said Thanksgiving at the giving of the bicycle, was the Thanksgiving genuine? No. Did he give it? Verbally. But look at the condition of the heart. Just because a person receives a gift and says thank you does not mean that that person is genuinely grateful in the heart for the gift as a recipient. Let me give you a second example. That same boy receives the PlayStation for his birthday instead of the bicycle. And he gets all excited, jumping up and down and telling his parents, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all the greatest. Oh, thank you, thank you. But then he immediately grabs the PlayStation, still in the box, goes to his neighbor's house, invite all his friends over. And he's excited because he knows they don't have a PlayStation. And now he does, and he lords it over them. He told his parents, thank you. But the motive for why he wanted what he received wasn't pure, even though he even had a praise in his thanksgiving. But the praise wasn't genuine. How many times have we come to church? Don't raise our hand and say thank you. Don't open our mouths to say thank you. Because God hasn't given us what we want. And then when we hear a verse like this, God has commanded us to give thanks. Enter into, thank you. You ain't for real. And then when we run around the church hollering, thank you, Jesus. The question is, why are we thanking him? What's the motive behind our thanksgiving? Therefore, we're not giving genuine praise to God. Let me say this. So God has commanded us to give thanks. But thanksgiving and gratitude ought to flow out of authenticity. Being genuine. Now, I'm giving you some reasons attached to this. Why not only we ought to give God thanks, but how we can have a genuine heart of gratitude. Second thing, we're giving thanks unto God, not just because he commanded us to do it, but because of who he is. You see, here's the big question we have to think about, the big picture. What happens when either we don't see or recognize the blessings of God, the gifts of God? Can we still give God thanks? Now, God is always blessing us, but can we genuinely give God thanks? Can we genuinely praise God? Habakkuk, the prophet, he wrote these words under the conditions of Israel. God had dried up the crops, dried up the streams. The livestock was dying out primarily because of the sin and rebellion of Israel and God's loving chastisement upon them. Can you find thanksgiving in the midst of God snatching everything away from you? Habakkuk 3 in verses 17, 19, he says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, I thought somebody would at least shout on that. Yet, in spite of all of that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the, not his stuff, but I will rejoice. You look where it's directed. Look at the objective of our rejoicing, of our gratitude. It's in the person, not in his gifts. The giver and not in his gifts. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God, the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Even when I have and I have not, He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. Not in high heels, but on my high heels. In other words, when I'm on the high heels, but it's slippery slope, unlevel and dangerous terrain, He gives me balance and stability. And notice the last line is in the Masoretic text, which when the prophet wrote this, he says, this is so good, I'm sending this to the chief musician with my string instruments, with the band. Here's the reason why. I want them to sing it every Sunday morning. I want them to be reminded that just because you didn't get what you wanted this week, just because you don't have what you feel like you need, God Himself is still worthy of the praise. This heart of gratitude towards God, listen, it's not about feeling grateful. Listen to this, I'm going to challenge you now. It's not about the gifts, whether you can see the gifts, and whether or not you have received what you think you deserve. It's about faith in God. If you want to talk about faith, it's about faith in God for who He is, as well as what He's already done and what He's capable of doing. A.W. Tozer said it this way, and I quote, he said, "Perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessing than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now." In other words, you got to put your big boy and big girl underwear on of faith when you can't see or sense the blessings of God, but you understand it's not about His stuff, it is about Him. Again, Habakkuk finds joy in God, stability in God, security in God, the God of his salvation. Habakkuk is mature enough, let me say that, he has enough faith to understand that if I allow adversity to strengthen me, it builds my faith and my trust in God for my dependence upon Him. In spite of my calamity, I still will give God praise. So we're giving God thanks, and we have a grateful heart, not only because He's commanded us to do so, but because He's worthy of the praise and honor. But then thirdly, we're giving thanks unto God with a grateful heart because of His grace extended towards us. How many of y'all know whatever God gives us, we don't rightly deserve? Nothing that God gives us do we deserve. Nothing that I have ever done that have ever deserved the favor of God in any way whatsoever. Even on my best day, in that 130 seconds of goodness, 27 seconds of goodness, I don't deserve any of His blessings. But Paul writes to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, and I read it from the NIV, and he says this: "All this is for your benefit, the spreading of the gospel, being recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even your trials, and having victory in your trials. It's all for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause God's grace that is flowing in abundance, it may cause something. It may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." God gives us favor, grace, not just so that we could be happy, but so that He'll be praised. Now, don't let me sink your ship, all right? when I make this statement, but he don't need your praise. But there's benefits for us even in giving him praise. Paul said it's all for your sakes. It's all for your benefit. It's because of God's grace that he might cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I don't want you to miss this beautiful transliteration from the Greek to the English in this text, in this verse. When Paul says, listen to this carefully, it's all for your sake, for your benefit, so that, notice what he says, grace in the Greek word is charis. So that charis extends to more and more people. Stay with me. That it may increase. That it may increase what? Our gratitude, our thanksgiving, which is the word in the Greek, eucharistian. Eucharistian comes out of the word charis. And so therefore he says, grace has been given so that we might be more thankful. In other words, grace and thanksgiving are really the same words. The reason why God gives us and extends to us his grace, multiplied, layered, one blessing on top of another, is for thanksgiving and praise. And so, the way that we develop genuine gratitude is to think about what we do have and ask ourselves the question, do we really deserve it? Not what we don't have, but what we do have. What we do have. So again, grace and gratitude is really the same word. So therefore, we're not being thankful just for the gifts, but we are directing that thanksgiving, that gratitude towards the giver. That makes all the difference in the world. Because when someone gives you something, in order for your thank you to be genuine, you have to ask, what did you feel about the person before they gave you the gift? Y'all know Chris is about to come up on the job. And they're going to be pulling names. And you already praying that you don't pull somebody's name or that they don't pull your name. I wish I had at least three witnesses that want to be honest. And then when you find out that that person who you don't like, for whatever the reasons might be, got your name. Oh, shoot. Then when they hand you that gift, you trying your best to put your sanctified face on. Oh, thank you. But you ain't even open it up. But you ain't feeling good about it already. Here's the reason why. Because it really is not about the gift. They can have $1 million in the box. And as soon as you see it's $1 million, you're going to be like, it's fake. It's counterfeit. Why? It's because of what you thought about them. The value of the person before you examine and appraise the value of the gift. So one of the reasons why our thanksgiving towards God is not genuine is not because we don't have high appraisal for the gift, but we have less value for the giver. We didn't really think much about him in the first place. We were just going through the motions. Somebody shout grace. Fourthly, I'm almost done. We're to give thanks unto God because he invites us to enjoy his blessings and benefits. His blessings and benefits as a result of a grateful heart. When God commands us to give thanks, listen, this is what he's doing. He's summoning us. He is inviting us not to mere duty, but to his delight. But to his delight. God commands us to give thanks because he knows that's what's best for us. You command your children to do or not to do certain things, not because you want to hurt them, but because you know this is not good for them. You tell a 3-year-old, don't run out there in the street. Don't go out the yard. Why? Because you don't want them to get hurt. You're not a killjoy. You don't want to spoil their fun. I know it's fun playing in the street. When that same child turns, goes from 3 to 30, you're still saying the same thing. Don't be out there playing around in the streets because the streets are dangerous. You're not trying to spoil their fun. That's the way we think as children growing up. Amen. Even as a young adult, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. When our parents say something, they're in their 50s and 60s. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They're always trying to run my life. Keep on living. And if God bless you with children, you'll wind up repeating what your parents said, not because it's cliche-ish, but because you start developing a parent's heart for the child. And the welfare, listen, you want, listen, the reason why I keep telling your child, you've got to do your homework. Son, how are you going to go to school every day? Come home every day with books and a laptop and everything else, and then don't turn your assignments in. Are you kidding me? You know, you know you got a quiz. You know you got an exam on Friday and the day is Thursday. You ain't sat down and cracked NAM book open. You can tell how far I went to school. NAM book. But what are we trying to do? We just hate our kids, don't we? We just, oh, we can't stand y'all. Get them high. You ain't got no hair to pull a high. No. It's because we want our kids to succeed. We want them to reach their full potential. That's what God does for us. He commands us, do this, don't do that. Be thankful with a grateful heart. Why? Because it's for your benefit. You're going to have cirrhosis of the liver because you're, listen, dying from cirrhosis as a giver. You don't give thanks to anybody else and you wonder why. You're losing your mind because you're not grateful for what you do have. God commands us to give thanks because he understands the benefits to be enjoyed and the potential not only for our physical health, but for our spiritual health and our spiritual growth and maturity. Because again, we are not giving thanks to God and being motivated by the gifts. Nowhere in the Bible tells us that we ought to give thanks. I hear people say that you ought to give thanks to God because he's been. No, no. You give thanks to God because of who he is. That's the primary reason. Because what he does should not be our supreme motivation. It should be faith. I trust you. I love you. I dedicate my life to you. And so therefore, I'm going to give you thanks. Paul, being inspired under the inspiration of God, write these words to a struggling church in the midst of their trials and adversity. He writes this letter to the Philippians, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. And here's what he says. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. He said, this is the solution to overcome your anxiety. Here's the solution. I'm not saying you need to go see someone in the mental health profession. Here's what I'm saying. You can drop back on the pills. Listen to this. In the therapeutic sessions, if he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here's the promise of his blessing. Here is the benefit for us. If we do that, if we pray unto God, give God our heart, commune with him, develop a relationship with him, with the heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, here's the promise. And the peace of God, which you can't explain because it surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul said the best way to keep your eyes off and your heart off of stuff you don't have is the cause and the reason why you can't give thanks unto God, is put your eyes and your heart on the God you do have and who has you. And you realize then you got everything. And then Paul in that same chapter, verse 8, says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Not all that mess you've been reading on social media and the gossip column. Whatever things are true. That's the word of God. That's the only thing that's absolutely true. Whatever things are noble, of honest and good report. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. It's worth repeating again. If there is any virtue and if there is anything that is praiseworthy, then put your mind and your heart on those things. And here's the blessing and the promise again. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, the word of God and my example, Paul says, these do and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. I ain't got a job, but I got peace. I ain't got the money that I want, but I got peace. God calls us to focus our attention on who he is and not what we don't have. Because the reality is, the shifting of our attention to what we don't have is what creates fears. Fears begin to master and lord over us, and it bankrupts our souls. Drains us of gratitude. Harry Ironside said it this way. He said, we will worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. If we could just only be grateful. Fifth and finally, yes, God has commanded us to give thanks unto him. We give thanks unto him because of who he is, not just because of the gifts. We give thanks unto God because the gratitude we have is a result of his grace that has been bestowed and poured upon us. But then also we give thanks to God because of what he's done in the past and what he's capable of doing in the future. If you don't think God is faithful and worthy of our praise, then ask yourself the question, how did you get here today? How did you get to this place? Who has sustained you? Who has kept you? Who has blessed you? And if he never does anything else for us, is he worthy of his past? If I do something for you, we live in the same house, I guarantee you, probably for just as much good as I've done, there's just as much bad that I have done. Well, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all say, thank God I ain't in his house. No, the reality is we miss the mark. If you look at it from God's perspective, so you put some toast in the bagel for your husband or your wife and you spread some cream cheese on it. But what was the attitude when you do it? Don't never do nothing for me. I told him the car wasn't working right. Baby, your bagel ready. But look at God's track record. Whatever God has done, it has never been tainted by humanity. It has never been tainted because of the seed of the first Adam. It has never been tainted because of sin and unrighteousness and unjustness. But whatever God has done, listen, he has done it from a pure heart. And listen, he's done it not only for his glory, but he's done it for our good. Is he worthy of praise? Is he worthy of praise? And if he's done it in the past, it's the same God that's able to keep us for the future. We need to have, listen, John Piper writes this about this in his book called Future Grace. So when we're praising God today, we're not just thanking God for what he has done in the past, even what he's doing now. We need to build a collection of praise and thanksgiving to God of what he's going to do in the future by his grace. Scientists have come to the conclusion that the average person takes about 23,000 breaths per day. I think that at least in one of those breaths, maybe two or three, we ought to find ways to give God thanks out of 23,000. The psalmist in Psalms 150 said it this way: let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We ought to give him thanks. We don't realize how blessed we are that we have someone to give thanks to, and that is God Almighty. It's a bad day for an atheist when he feels grateful, but he has no one to give that thanks to. Aren't you glad you've got a great and awesome God that you can thank, that you can praise, that you can glorify him? Now, I'm going to say it again. Don't focus on what we don't have. Look at what we do have. Sometimes when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, I'm like, oh my God. But then I have to pause and give God thanks, because somebody is deaf and can't hear an alarm clock this morning. When the sun starts beaming through the curtains early in the morning, I ain't ready to wake up, and I close my eyes and slide down under cover. I ain't the only one. I have to come from under the cover when I see the bright sunshine and say, somebody's blind, wish they could see the sun waking him up this morning. On a cold and rainy day, when I'm gripping the covers and don't want to come out, I got to stop and give God thanks that I got strength to stand on my legs, the activity of our limb, and give him praise. Sometimes when I don't want to get up because I know it's going to be a mad rush in a crazy house with some crazy folk, but then I have to stop and give God thanks. Here's the reason why. Because there are a lot of people today that are dying lonely and alone and don't have no family and friends. Sometimes the house don't look like the house on the parade of homes in the movies and on HGTV. But I'm so grateful I got a house to come back to. A roof on top, heat and air, running water. Some days I don't feel like going to work. Can I tell that to y'all? But I'm so grateful to have a job. Because there's something about eating I enjoy. There's something about traveling that I enjoy. All the privileges that having a job affords me, I got to stop and give God thanks. We can complain about the rain and the leaves we got to rake, but somebody shoveling several feet of snow or can't come out. Somebody got caught in a mudslide, or they got caught in a raging fire or earthquake. We can find reasons to give God thanks. You know, one of the wonderful things about Thanksgiving is this. You ain't got to be rich to give thanks. You don't have to live in a big house to give thanks. Drive a fancy automobile to be grateful. You don't have to have an abundance of talents to give thanks. You don't have to be the most intelligent and most educated person to give thanks. You ain't got to be the cutest thing on the face of the earth in order to give God thanks. You just need to have a grateful heart. In closing, a young woman by the name of Ann Steele, she had encountered one trial and disappointment after another. Her mother died when she was only 3. She never knew her father. When she was 19 years of age, she suffered a severe hip injury that left her in an invalid state. Eventually, she fell in love with a young man who was engaged to be married. The day before their wedding, he drowned in a boating accident. Later, Ann Steele penned these words to the following hymn and song. Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accept it at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free, the blessing of thy grace impart, and make me live unto thee. I pray that God will give us grateful and thankful hearts, not only unto him, but to those around us. We can always genuinely find reason to tell the people around us, thank you. Somebody needs to hear that. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks. Oh Lord, our God, we pause, oh Father, after listening to your word, after considering not only your righteousness, but your faithfulness and your graciousness, that you are worthy, oh Lord, of all of our praise and honor, glory. So God, I pray, oh Father, that as the psalmist says, oh Lord, that the work of your hands would work in our hearts that we might be people of thanksgiving. I know we are unfinished work, oh God. We realize, oh Father, you see us through Christ Jesus as your masterpiece. And I pray, oh Father, the work that you begun in us, that we would submit ourselves to you, because you and you alone are faithful and just to complete that work. God, I thank you today, oh Father, for our family and our friends that you placed around us. I thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ and this church, that you've given us a spiritual family. Lord, you've given us a Christian connection. And I thank you today for this one commonality that we all have, and that's Christ Jesus as our Lord. And if there's anybody here today that may not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would surrender. Lord, admit what we all now know, that all have sinned and come short of your glory. None of us, oh Father, can fix our sin predicament and problem. We don't have the strength. We don't have the purity. We don't have the resources. We don't have the ability. Somebody's saying, when I get my life together, then I'm coming to Jesus. Help them to realize, oh Father, only Jesus can get your life together. God, I pray that they would surrender today. Lord, I pray that even when we leave this place today, regardless of what the conditions are around us, we pause, take a deep breath, and that breath of the 23,000 you have given us, we stop to give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's magnify the Lord in this place.